Well, thank you, Dr. Jack, for connecting me with Honey Rinicella. As she is on the line, she is with the MAPS, which is the Medical Academy of Pediatric Special Needs. Honey, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Kim.
Well, and tell us about you. You know, how did you end up on this journey to get to become the executive director of the Medical Academy of Pediatric Special Needs?
So I am the parent of twins that are affected with autism. They had a confirmed vaccine injury at 21 months old. They were diagnosed. So I was very fortunate that somebody had sent me down the path of at the time, a DAN doctor to dig deeper to find out what was actually going on inside of my kids. They were totally fine, you know, developing, you know, it's the same story we hear from so many parents, developing normal, everything was on par, met all their milestones, you know, had 6 shots in one day, totally shut down, you know, became lymph noodles. They were, you know, they had atrophy issues with which we know now was a mitochondria dysfunction. And fast forward, somebody sent me to a MAPS, well, DAN doctor at the time, and I started to understand right away what happened to my kids. The doctor suggested we get involved and contact a lawyer. We have a federal court of claims lawsuit. We got heavily involved in the why, the how, and then I needed to know how to fix my kid. So I went on a path and, you know, continued to heal and piece back what had been injured. And fast forward several years, I opened up a nonprofit in my area and then started helping other families and building bridges and building the community. I'm outside of Philadelphia. And then we ended up, I took a job as the director of education for National Autism Association. I was throwing parent conferences. But the core of healing these children was always the doctors, like you guys were just talking about. It's the injuries. The parents understand what's going on, but we needed the doctors to understand. So MAPS had approached me at the last National Autism Conference and asked if I would take over to help them, you know, kind of infiltrate, if you would, the medical community to show the need for doctors to understand the how to fix our children. So I took the job as executive director. It's going on 2 years, and I could not be more excited to see. We just had a conference that sold out for the first time ever, and there were 91 new practitioners there. And these doctors are like hungry and eager to know how to help these children, and it's just a great time to be in this community.
So, honey, how old are your children now?
So my twins are 23. They'll be 24 in August.
How are they doing?
Ride.
Yeah, okay. How are they doing?
They're doing great. So by all definitions of society, my one son, Victor, they're Victor and Vincent. Victor is verbal. He is the one that when he had actually his injury, his vaccine injury, his immune system was just destroyed. I mean, he was a mess, like, you know, asthma, you know, allergies. He had everything that you could name, he had it. And he's always kind of been my medically complex kid, but he was considered high functioning because he had language. And, you know, we got him to talk and communicate, and he was doing great. He didn't need an aid at school. So he was doing fabulous. He's still medically fragile. He had life-threatening seizures that, by the grace of God, my MAPS doctor found the core of what that was. It was related to his mito. It was a cerebral folate issue. So we, you know, treated that. So he's kind of my medical kid. So the other one is the one, by all, you know, definitions of society, was low-functioning. Vincent, you know, he had severe apraxia. When he had that injury, he had the hypotonia and all of the muscles in his mouth, you know, his arms, like he was just like a limp noodle. And so that affected his language. But what we didn't realize was it did not in any capacity affect his cognition. And so it affected all of the gross motor components of his ability to communicate, but it didn't affect what was inside of him. So we had presumed him to be, you know, lower functioning and not as intelligent. And, you know, fortunately, a couple of years ago, we fell upon this new modality. It was this, you know, we do Speller's method. It's Spelling to Communicate came out, and we realized, oh my gosh, he is not only equal intelligence to his brother, likely superior to most his age. And like, I mean, the kid learned trigonometry in 6 days. It's just mind-blowing. So I think he's doing amazing. So is he, you know, fully conversational? Absolutely, on a keyboard. So he doesn't have his language, but he's happy. He can do what his life, what he wants now, and we won't be guiding that. It's going to be his path that he chooses. So I am so excited for him and our community for this new breakthrough.
Wow. I can only imagine his frustration over all those years, having all that pent up. He saw everybody, but he couldn't communicate. That had to be so frustrating for him.
Yes, yes. You know, he has a blog. It's called The Unfiltered Mind of Vincent. And he actually said in one of his blogs, it's as if we're stupid until proven smart. And he said it. He felt we were very blessed that anybody that came into our world had a good heart. We weren't one of those stories where people treated them like, you know, animals. I mean, we were treated with respect and kindness. But he has said it was extremely frustrating to be locked in there and not be able to communicate. But I knew everybody's intention was well. Like, nobody had ill intentions when they were treating him. They knew, they just didn't know any better. So if they would be like, touch the apple, and he touched the wrong one because his body couldn't listen to his brain because of dyspraxia and apraxia. He couldn't get his body to do what he needed, but his brain knew, and then they'd be like, oh, try again. And to him, he said it was almost like, well, they're doing their best. Which is, he's a very kind man, because I don't know as I would have been that kind. We always, he and I talk about it, and we relate it to somebody who was wrongfully imprisoned, right? Some come out, and they're like just so happy to finally be free. And then some come out really, really angry that they were wrongfully treated this way. So, you know, he fortunately is one of the kinder ones that's like, you know, everybody was doing their best. There was no malicious intent, and let's just make a change now.
Okay, honey, well, first of all, I know so many young parents that are still, they look to their doctor says, and the school district says, we recommend all these different vaccinations, and they're still doing it. And and it's well-intentioned, but if the doctor says it, if the school says it, then that's it. How do we address that?
Yeah, so I think telling our stories is the most impactful. You know, like the movie that just came about, this new modality, we actually just showed the film. It's called The Spellers Film. You can go to spellers.com and click on watch, and anybody can see that. But, you know, we just showed it at Capitol Hill. We were just there on Monday. I just got back late last night, if I sound a little groggy. We spent the day like kind of lobbying and explaining this to people. And it's so interesting because a lot of people are like, well, how did you get here? And I feel like the Spellers movement that my son is involved in is going to open the eyes to a lot of people for the injury, right? So my goal has always been to stop throwing these kids in the fire and then save the ones that were burned. And that's what our doctors do. And by educating them on the how and the why and what's going on internally, I think people are going to be like, well, what could have caused that? And when you talk about like a toxic overload, they're going to say, well, what was toxic? And then, you know, we just, our voices are getting a little bit louder. You know, we have friends like ICANN and, you know, CHD, and you know, we just keep penetrating the community with the truth, and I really feel like they're going to catch on. You know, somebody mentioned to me, you know, I think parents are smarter than we give them credit for. They just need to be exposed. And I'll just use the example, like, you know, when I had my daughter, I didn't know what I was having. I have a 25-year-old daughter who goes to University of Pittsburgh, and you know, I didn't know what I was having, and I signed her up to be circumcised because it's almost like what you just said. You know, we do what the doctors tell us. We do what the teachers tell us. We just follow suit what we're supposed to do because we want to be good parents.
Right.
And so I signed her up. I didn't know what I was having, and lo and behold, it was a girl. So it was never on my radar. So then fast forward, you know, 2 years later, I'm pregnant with twins, and my best friend said, are you going to circumcise? And I said, well, yeah, why wouldn't I? And she goes, you should maybe do a little research. And she was like, some people consider it barbaric. And I'm like, what? I had no idea. I married into a Sicilian family. My family's German. Did not understand. Neither of their cultures did it. Like, so I started researching it and personally made the decision. I'm like, I don't really need to do this. So I became educated and I didn't. So I feel like we just have to continue to get the information out to the parents. They're going to start doing some research. I mean, parents are, they're catching on. They're catching on. It's sad to see how many just trust the system, but I hopefully think COVID woke some of them up. You know, there were a lot of injuries that happened with, you know, the COVID vaccines, and I feel like that might have rattled a few people to be like, wait, what am I giving my kids?
Yeah.
So hopefully, in a sad way, that brought some light to the subject.
Okay, and honey, we're going to go to break here in just a moment, but Dr. Jack, your commentary before we go to break.
Yeah, so Honey is joined by so many other parents who have had the amazing, miraculous pleasure of having conversations with their children for the first time, either in years or for the first time ever. And I want to emphasize that if you know someone who has a child or a young adult who is not speaking, nevertheless, they don't know anything about the Spellers program, please share this show with them when it's online. Please send them to the websites that Honey's going to share with us for MAPS, but also spellersthemovie.com. So important. School boards across the state of Colorado need to watch this. Every child going into every classroom has the right to communicate by whatever means they can. And mm-hmm. So this program allows these children to engage in their own education in a much more profoundly engaging way.
Well, I'm at the website. I'm looking at all these faces of these beautiful children. And this is just so exciting. So I'm talking with Honey Rinascella and Dr. James Linesweiler about this movie, Spellers.com. And then also, Honey is the executive director for, I have the name right here. What is it, Honey?
The Medical Academy of Pediatrics and Special Needs.
And so we're talking with Honey Rinascella. She is the executive director for the Medical Academy of Pediatric Special Needs. And Honey, I have to tell you, there is a young single mom that I know that I am immediately, she has a little 7-year-old that she was in the military. And I think she said, kind of described what happened with your children is, you know, everything's hitting the milestones, gets vaccines, and her child is autistic. And so I'm going to immediately get all this information to her as soon as we get off the show here. This is so, so important. I'm over on Spellers. To watch the film, I'm not initially just seeing immediately where I hit that to watch the film. Where is that at on the website?
Well, I'm on it too, so let me go and see if I can find it while I'm talking to you. I'll tell you in a second if you want to continue asking any other. It might be Spellers the movie.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. We'll check that out then. Your journey as a mother. Here you've got these little twins, and then obviously you must have a 2-year-old, or, well, somebody 2 years older than them. So you're uh-huh. this young mom. This uh-huh. happens. I mean, it had to be terrifying for you. Tell us a little bit about that journey.
When they were diagnosed?
Well, when you bring them home, and here they've been, you know, on all the milestones, and then it sounds like they
yeah,
were lethargic.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yes. I mean, we had a very horrific story. And I do feel a little bit blessed that I'd had a daughter prior. My kids are 21 months apart. I'd had a daughter, you know, I was a stay-at-home mom. I mean, my husband, you know, he's really Italian. They like their wives to, like, raise their children. And I loved that. I couldn't wait to, like, be with every ounce of my child and, like, monitor their everything and love them through every little phase because it goes so quick. And I couldn't wait to be a mom. And so my daughter was like, great. And it was wonderful. And then I had my twins and, you know, twins, boys, preemies, a little more cautious, you know, they were a month early. So it was interesting because after, you know, I brought them home, you know, I actually lived in Atlanta at the time and they were born in 2000 and the CDC had recommended that you remove thimerosal from vaccines. So I was living in Atlanta when they made that recommendation. So what's crazy is that I went to my doctor and I'm like, hey, what's all this buzz about, you know, the vaccines containing thimerosal and this mercury and Bobby Kennedy just did, you know, this in Rolling Stones. I read this article, you know, what's going on? And he was like, listen, he had a son, my doctor, in Atlanta. We were in one of the largest medical pediatric practices in Atlanta. And he said, you know, my child has autism. There might be something to this. Let's just hold off and spread him out a little bit. And I was like, okay, great. What do I need to do? He's like, well, listen, you're gonna have to call another, pay another copay to come back. He was like, as long as you're okay with that. I'm like, absolutely, whatever I need to do. You know, it's about my kid's health. So we didn't do any at birth. You know, I was fortunate enough. I didn't circumcise, as you just heard that story. And then I didn't do any at birth. And it kind of just all went against my gut. I'm like, this perfectly healthy baby. I was breastfeeding, feeding them all organic, making their own baby food. I'm like, why am I shooting them up with this stuff? It kind of wasn't common sense to me. And literally my husband was like, honey, do it. They all do it. The doctor's telling us to. You just have to do what the doctor's saying. And I remember in my gut being like, it just doesn't seem like it's necessary. Like, why am I giving them a hepatitis B? Isn't that an STD? Like, I started thinking, you know, there's an organization called the Thinking Moms Revolution. And I wished it was around back when I was, because we just need to think. So I did. I, you know, went ahead and I did them and I spread them out. But every time I gave them to my children, this is very important. Every time I gave them to my children, you know, at their 2 months and 4 months and 6 months, they got sick. And it was like, give them Tylenol. Tylenol depletes your liver of glutathione. So it was the worst thing I could have done was give them Tylenol while I was injecting them with all this, you know, these neurotoxins alongside all these viruses. So it was just like an accumulative effect of a nightmare scenario when you look deeper at what we're actually doing. And so every single one of them, I have the data, they got sick after every one. And I'm like, why are my kids getting so sick when I'm a stay-at-home breastfeeding mom, giving them all organic food? When I go to the doctor, they get sick. And they were like, well, they're probably picking up a bug here. And then when it happened and they had their final one and they just lost everything, that's when I went back to the doctor. I'm like, what the hell happened? And he was like, you know, they were like a year delayed. And I'm like, they were fine at their last visit. How is this? And then he was like, we got to get you to Emory University. Let's send you over. You got to run some tests. You know, I don't know what happened. And he was dumbfounded when I came back to him and said, you know, all those vaccines that you thought you removed, they're all the exact same lots that you replaced them with. So he thought he was doing good by not exposing us to what was recommended to be removed, you know, the vaccines that had the thimerosal. Unfortunately, all the new ones he got in were the same vials. They didn't mandate to remove it, or else they would have had to throw away all of the old, you know, vaccines. So the crazy part is that, you know, when I came home and I knew, I instantly was like going into like, oh my gosh, how do I fix this? Where my husband instantly went into, what is wrong with this corrupt system that this just injured two perfect children? And I have to just tell you, fast forward, I went on the Today Show with the president-elect of the American Academy of Pediatrics. And when we were in the green room, because nobody denies that I have this vaccine injury, they were confirmed with a vaccine injury. And the president-elect, Dr. Richard Talo, said, we know, this is critical for people to understand. He said to us, we know there are a percentage of children who are going to react, but for the masses, it's good. And I was like,
oh my
well,
gosh.
Wait a minute, that's like Russian roulette, and that's like saying my kids are collateral damage for a system that protected my neighbor. You need to tell parents, they need to have this choice. You can't just tell us all this. And he also told me, you know, it's not, he goes, the CDC is responsible for checking to make sure they're all safe. And I have to tell you, I had a meeting with the CDC and they were like, okay, here's the thing. This is horrible too, Kim. He said, here's the thing. We check each shot individually. We check the measles. We check the mumps. We check the rubella. We never check a measles, mumps, and rubella. We don't check a D, a P, and a T. We check a D and a P and a T singly, not together. So they're not, and they sure as heck don't look at what it's like to give a DTP with an MMR. You know, so the CDC is like, we're looking at each one individually. We don't tell anybody to give them together. That's the AAP's job. But when I mentioned this to the AAP, he had said to me, Dr. Talo said, well, honey, we have to cram them all into the well visit because statistics show that parents will not pay a second copay. They have to get everything in that well visit.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm like, so wait a minute. This is not about safety. This is about convenience and fitting it into a copay. Oh, my God. My mind was blown. So I went from how do I help my kids and how do I start to stop this from happening? This is insane. People just don't know. I mean, it's not like we're hokey. It's just two ships sailing. You know, AAP says, here's a schedule that fits your, you know, insurance and copays. And then, like, CDC says, well, this one's okay, this one's okay, and this one's okay. They never say give 10 at one time. Better yet, 20.
Oh, my gosh. Honey, we are out of time. We're going to have another conversation. But it is spellersthemovie.com, spellersthemovie.com. Mm-hmm. And this has gone way too quickly. Dr. Jack, thank you so much for connecting us. This is just so important. So, Dr. Jack, thank you.
Far out. I forgot to say good morning, honey.
Hey, love.
And, honey, Rinicella, we're going to get you back on. This is so important. This whole journey. So thank you, and thank you for the work that you're doing, and this is so exciting about your sons.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
Oh my gosh. Now, our quote for the end of the show, since Trent Luce is going to be on it in the second hour, I did some cowboy quotes, and Will Rogers said this. He says, you know, horses are smarter than people. You never heard of a horse going broke betting on people. So my friends, today be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way.